This is Pure Decking, show number 468 for Thursday, February the 22nd. No, I'm sorry, February the 24th, 1988. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and reminding you that VR-based injuries are, in fact, a real thing. As my lower back keeps reminding me. Fuck.
Oh. Is VR overtaking toilet-related injuries in America yet?
Probably not. I don't know.
That could be hilarious.
I kind of hope so now. Of course, the real statistic is how many VR-based injuries happen on the toilet.
There you go. FBI, I want the statistics.
That wouldn't fall under them. This would possibly be a CDC thing.
Oh, you can't believe their statistics.
I mean, nobody's talking about it, but I mean, you know, if you can be sitting there popping a squat while looking around at space or Mount Everest rather than just your bathroom walls, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I get kind of performance anxiety shitting in public.
Yeah.
I mean, I have enough trouble pissing on national monuments. You think you're going to fall over to shitting? No. I'm sorry, state monuments. I haven't gone national yet. And I'm sorry, guys. I didn't know it was a war memorial. I didn't know it was anything. I thought it was a fucking hill.
That was funny when I'm like, you
you're
realize...
in Gettysburg. What did you think? Everything's a war memorial in Gettysburg.
It was funny because, what was it, Ingress we were doing?
Yeah.
And you said, hang on, I'll be right back. And I'm like, dude, did you just take a piss? He goes, yeah, why? I'm like, you know this is a memorial for the Civil War, right? His face went white. I mean, he's like, I did what?
Yeah.
Oh.
Any other country, it'd be a hate crime.
Well, luckily it was dark and, you know, nobody was going to turn him in, but still. Take a shit on a politician's chest in VR. You know, if somebody wrote that app...
They have to pay for the Cleveland Steamers, dude. No, I don't do that shit for free.
If somebody wrote that app, you know it would make amazing amounts of money.
Oh, how would they do it? They don't have lower halves.
Depends on the VR game you play. In this case, though, you just wouldn't bother rendering it. You just render the face of the politician and let the person position it and then just assume that whatever they're doing was their own business. And I just, you know, the only question there is how do you not get sued for making it with people's likenesses?
Make sure they're always smiling?
I guess. But anyways... Yeah, actually, I don't. It's crazy that I hurt my back because it's not like I fell or I mean, I punched some furniture, but that didn't hurt my back. It was just getting old, I guess. That sucks. It's like I don't have a history of back problems. What the fuck? So, anyways, I guess we'll get into this here. Most of the today's show is just going to be dumping on Facebook, so let's just start with it. First one's up from The Guardian. This is kind of more to talk about because the actual story they're on about here is kind of depressing, but the way they phrase it is odd. So the headline here is Facebook, quote, lets vigilantes in Ethiopia incite ethnic killings. And I have a problem with that headline. And it's that Facebook, quote, lets. Like what? Are they a ruling power? Or are they... I mean, I guess in some instances, but it's like Facebook doesn't let anyone do anything. They're posting messages online. I mean, if somebody's going to do something, I mean, what, do you expect Zuckerberg out there to go tackle them? I mean, come on. Although I guess they probably do employ enough people, they could deploy some security. It's very, very snow crash if you're down to the corporate security to prevent. Anyways, Facebook is under renewed scrutiny this weekend, accused of continuing to allow activists to incite ethnic massacres in Ethiopia's escalating war. Ethiopia's at war? Way to go, news industry. I didn't know that.
It's been a continual civil war for your lifetime, dude.
Doesn't stop. All they do is take time out to regroup and have more children, and then they go back at it again.
Well, I'm out of the loop and a dumb American, so what can I say?
It's pretty much, it's just ethnic genocide at this point.
Lovely. Analysis by the Bureau of Investigative Journalism and The Observer found Facebook is still letting users post content including violence through hate and misinformation. This is despite being aware it helps directly fuel tensions, prompting claims of inaction and indifference against the social media giant. The investigation tracked down relatives who have linked Facebook posts to the killing of loved ones. One senior member of Ethiopia's media accused the firm of standing by and watching the country fall apart. The accusations arrived amid intensifying focus on Facebook's content moderation decisions, previously being accused of playing a role in the ethnic persecution of the Rohingya in Myanmar. I'm sure I said that wrong. On Wednesday, Meta's Mark Zuckerberg revealed that former UK Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg would be the President of Global Affairs, a move designed to help the rebranded company repair its reputation following the testimony of whistleblower Francis Hagen, who said it was, quote, literally fanning ethnic violence in Ethiopia. So, it also comes as Facebook is considering launching independent inquiry into its work in Ethiopia after its oversight board urged it to investigate how the platform had been used to spread hate speech. The TBIJ and the Observer investigators also interviewed a number of fact-checkers, civil society organizations, and human rights activists in the country. Why didn't you describe the other, you know, in journalism, weren't you supposed to get the other side and go interview the people doing the ethnic killings as well? To, you know, fair and balanced reporting, isn't that how that works? No?
I wouldn't want to try and interview these people.
I'm being an ass.
I mean, they like to cut the lips and limbs off people.
Yeah, they describe Facebook's support as far less than it should be. Others say they felt requests for assistance had been ignored and meetings failed to materialize. These failures, they said, helped fuel a conflict in which thousands have died and millions have been displaced since fighting broke out between government forces and armed opposition groups from the Tigray region in November of 2020. Both sides have been accused of atrocities. It keeps going. The article goes on. Meta, you know, of course, is rejecting the claim, saying it is invested in safety and security measures to tackle hate and inflammatory language, along with aggressive steps to stop the spread of misinformation in Ethiopia. And, you know, they go on and find a couple of activist accounts that aren't banned yet, of course, and, you know, interview some more people in the article. But it's long and just a whole bunch of details that... I guess the problem I have here is this idea that if Facebook didn't let crazy people post on it, bad things wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean...
I also have a rock that keeps tigers away.
Well, yeah. It's working great for you, I can
tell. It's fucking worked, man.
I can tell. It's working great for you. You're still alive.
40-plus years, no tiger attacks. Never even seen one around here. That rock fucking works.
I mean, you know, are you sure about that, though? I mean, you never know when one might be sneaking up behind you.
That's clearly a panther. I do not have a panther.
It's actually labeled lion roar.
That's a panther.
I mean, I'm not going to claim whoever labeled the sound effects in the app I'm using knew what they were on about, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But... it's just weird to me that they're blaming Facebook for this. Because like you said, you know, this has been going on my entire lifetime. And at the beginning of my life, the internet consisted of a couple of dial-up things in colleges and Q-Link. So, I don't think the problem here is Facebook.
The problem is these ideological people for the last 15 years have been doing this great social justice leap forward they thought was going to be a magical cure-all for the entire planet, and it's not working out, and they just can't figure out why. But we're doing the peace and love thing. I know we're a little hypocritical about it, but it should be working by now. Like, why is it not working? We need to double down.
They're forgetting that not everyone lives and breathes on the internet.
That's pretty much it, Morps. Yeah,
I mean, do you go after the phone company for letting mobsters organize bank jobs? No.
Yeah, so long as Facebook is, I don't know, doing something when they get a report of this Facebook user is actually organizing a raid on a village to go rape and cut everyone in half. Can you please ban him? Oh, okay. Let's look into this and then possibly ban him.
Yeah, and they just go on to a Middle Eastern chat company.
Yep.
You can't stop it. Genocide's been going on forever. There are more slaves today than there ever was in the Americas. The world has never changed. It's just the people who think they're in charge have changed the focus on the lens, if you know what I mean. They're not willing to look at the actual world for what it is.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when we were going back and forth about these people who think everyone lives online and that, you know, it's just not true. You know, sure, there's tons of people like us who live online and never go outside, and, you know, the big blue room's been pretty nasty outside lately anyways. I'm not talking about the pandemic. I'm mainly just talking about the weather. So, it's been gray and gross all week. I don't know about you guys. But
yeah, it's raining here.
You know, so it's like, you know, it's just, yeah, not everyone lives and dies by what's posted on fucking Facebook and Twitter. You know, and I know I probably shouldn't use lives and dies in this example, but
people's whole existence does.
I mean, seriously, like, you think they weren't going to find some other way to do it if you didn't let them use Facebook? I mean, I understand not wanting it on your platform. Hell, I agree with you. If you don't want, you know, like Madman said, if somebody's reporting it or you come across it through an automated scanning tool or something, yeah, take it down, obviously. But it's, you don't blame Facebook because, and it's weird to defend Facebook, but I truly, in general, don't blame a platform because the users are doing something bad. I mean, especially not in the case of Facebook, which is actually actively trying to keep, you know, the worst of the worst off of it.
Are we praising Facebook at this point?
Kinda.
Yeah, more defending them against stupid people.
It's more, I don't want the idea of an op. I don't want the idea of these platforms to being responsible for what, you know. In any sufficiently large population of users, you're going to have bad people. You know, this is why the two-party system sucks, because you can always find a crazy person to point at and say, look, that's your entire other side. But, you know, politics aside, that's the thing. Any sufficiently large population, you're going to have some problems. And so if you have a large Facebook, LiveJournal, MySpace, Twitter, I don't care, any of them. They're not, the platforms are not responsible for what bad people do on them. Now, if you report to the platform and they take it down, that's fine, right? I mean, within reason of their, you know, terms and stuff like that. Where I have a problem is where you redefine the badness to just opinions you don't like. But if it's like literally like, yeah, look, here's the toes of people we've murdered. Okay, yeah, maybe that person, you know, report them to the police and shut down their page. I understand that. But, you know, that's the thing, though, is like, this is clearly one of these cases where it's like, yeah, okay, you've got bad people using the thing, and obviously the AI stuff is all trained in English, so it's having a hard time, you know, with foreign posts. Yeah. Thank you, Cycros. He's got a good post in the IRC there. There are a lot of problems with Facebook. Insufficient censorship isn't one of them. That's a good way to put it.
It's a very good way to put it.
So, I'm not sure there's much else to say on this other than I just don't like the idea of them blaming the platform because a bad person posted something bad. And in this case, we're talking about actual bad people because they're doing ethnic cleansing, not just people whose opinions you don't like. That's the other thing is, you know, kind of need to draw the line there. You know, are we talking about ethnic cleansing, or are we talking about somebody who just disagrees with a political position? Because I don't think those things are in the same ballpark, right? That's the other thing.
No, one's a little more extreme than the other.
Ethiopia has 37 languages. Good luck. You probably.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that bad.
It's what happens when you just divide the world up after a global war and decide boundaries. You know what I mean?
Well, it's an issue, a big issue with Africa, because unlike Europe and America, Africa didn't form its countries. They were kind of assigned.
Yeah.
So they never, or they're still working on becoming national. They're a bunch of tribes living in an area that we decided to call a country. One of the many reasons that they're still fighting. Like with England, we call them England, even though it's Welsh, it's the Celts, it's the Celtics, it's the Picts. There were a bunch of tribes that eventually decided, we're not tribes anymore. We're a country. And then they became an empire. Africa, they never decided to stop being tribes.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's... You're going to be a country now, pick a leader. And that's when the fighting started.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the fighting continued.
Well, continued, yeah. We just called it a different place after that, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, you're trying to assign this European idea of nation states to a bunch of people who... were more interested in what their goats were doing than, you know, geopolitics. So
yeah, and by the way, see that black shit coming out of the ground? We can use that. You guys can't right now, so we're just going to help ourselves to it. that'd be great. Yeah, you know, I'm looking at you, British Petroleum.
We're just going to take this right here. So,
well, let's face it, the Africans weren't going to use it.
Well, not anytime soon, anyways.
I mean, who needs that many diamonds? Not the Africans.
Well, course. I mean, De Beers might.
You know, De Beers have got a place to put it on rich bitches' fingers. Africa, man, you haven't even figured out the water well yet. You know, like, and that's the problem. Because you go in there with these best intentions. Hey, look, we've got this thing called the railway, and it'll make it easier to transport people, production values. 50 years later, why are you tearing it up? Firewood? Are you fucking serious? You know, that's... They don't place value on anything, man. It's a very different way.
Yeah. So, anyways, I kind of made the point I wanted to make with that one. I didn't know if that was...
Well, watch a movie called Empire of Dust. And that'll give you a good... I think it's called Empire of Dust. I'll make sure I have the correct name for the end of the show.
Okay.
But if you want to understand how Africa really does not... value anything that they're given, that the Chinese are trying to modernize the place, but they've figured out it's pretty hard to motivate people who don't want to do anything.
So I don't know, I thought that was something a little different to talk about to start things off with. So I don't know if I made my point well, but, you know, that's just... I saw that headline and then read enough of the article to know that, no, that wasn't just a headline to get attention, and then, you know, the article has the real information. It's like, yeah, no, they're really saying this is Facebook's fault for letting this happen. And it's like, that's, like, weird. I mean, I'm not a fan of Facebook, but, you know, blame them for the shit they're doing, not the shit that they have no power to stop, right?
Yeah, what's the next story?
Speaking of the shit Facebook is doing,
they're now sacrificing kittens to up their stock price.
They would if they thought it would work.
Yeah, I don't give them ideas, man.
So this one's from 9to5 Mac. App tracking transparency harmful, says Facebook, as advertisers flee the platform. So this goes back to Apple and now Google saying they're going to do it too, making it clear when apps are tracking you. And letting you, like, you know, do something about it. Facebook and Instagram's parent company Meta has labeled Apple's app tracking transparency feature harmful. One analyst said that the privacy measure could be the biggest challenge the company ever faces. Think about that for a minute. That's how much they track you for advertising. That if your phone says, by the way, this app is going to track you, do you want to allow it? that most people would obviously say no, that it's a significant problem for them. Because what, you know, most people's inclination of not letting their thing track you, because of course that's what most people's initial, you know, knee-jerk reaction is. Wow, right? You know, it's like, you guys might want to re-examine your business model, is what I'm saying. A report today that shows, or a report today says that the loss of the ability to target Facebook and Instagram users by their interests is seeing the business, or seeing businesses abandon the platform in favor of Google Ads. The Wall Street Journal opens with one of many examples. Martha Kruger, who runs a gift basket business called Gift in Market, used to spend her entire advertising budget on Facebook and Instagram. When Apple introduced a privacy feature for mobile devices last year that restricts user tracking, she said her costs to acquire customers rose tenfold. In October, she shifted her whole ad budget to search ads on Google. The privacy change is hitting the heart of Meta's business, its ability to target ads at users with precision and provide or improve to marketers that the ads generate sales. Earlier this month, Meta said it expects roughly a $10 billion hit to sales this year as a result of Apple's change, which requires apps to ask users for permission to track their activity and share it. Meta claims to be concerned about small businesses, not its own bottom line. Quote, Apple's harmful policy is making it even harder and more expensive for businesses of all sizes to reach their customers, unquote. Ad industry execs and analysts say that Apple has completely disrupted Meta's business model. Apple's change could be the most disruptive innovation Meta ever faces, said analyst Daniel Newman of the Futurum Research, which focuses on digital technology. Facebook has built its empire on the ability to acquire intimate details about user behavior across the internet, he said. Apple has changed the game. Some of them suggest that Meta's focus on the metaverse is so that it can control the environment and retain the ability to offer ads which are closely aligned to user interests and online behaviors. And I would believe that, because they're sitting there realizing that they've built most of their platform on other people's infrastructure.
Yeah.
And now they're going, oh, shit, because, yeah, people figured out what they were doing, didn't like it. Apple's responding to a market need. You know, Apple doesn't give a shit about privacy from a you know, philosophy standpoint. Well, I'm sure they've got individuals who do. But as a company, companies don't have philosophical or moral centers. They're amoral, if anything. They're just following what the market, you know, what they think the next market trend is, which is people wanting to protect themselves and have a little bit of privacy. So, I mean, you know, Apple is still tracking you across the phone for their own reasons, but they don't have an advertising business, so they're probably not doing it anything like what Google's doing on the Android side of the house. Go ahead, Mepin.
I was kind of thinking on the companies being amoral. That's, they have morals. It's just they follow the morals of their board of directors and upper and middle management. So if you train them to be moral people, you'll have a moral company. Otherwise, no, you just have profit seeking.
Oh, that's fair. But I mean, the whole fiduciary responsibility thing makes me kind of think they're still going to be, I mean, yeah, okay. Most companies are going to be like, huh, we could make so much more money selling children into slavery. They're not going to do it. We know that. But at least we hope. We hope.
Depends on the part of the world you're in.
Well, there's that too.
I'm going to say, dude, if we're talking about Libya, slaves are their GDP right now.
Oh, that's depressing.
Well, the whole problem is, how many people can you honestly say value privacy or digital consent, or even consider things you do online something you need to consent to or for?
I think it's larger than you would expect, but it's probably not the majority. But, I mean, you think about it. You go to run Facebook, it pops up and says, this app wants to track you outside of the app. Are you okay with this? Most people are going to say no. Because it sounds scary. Oh, it's following me. It's tracking me. Why is it doing that? So, you know, whether they actually understand what the damn thing's doing or not. Like, I know what Facebook is doing. They don't care what my interests are. They just want to put a label on it so when they sell advertisements, they can use that label to pick a picture to show me. I get that. I know that's what they're doing. I mean, sure, it exists in a database somewhere, and it could certainly be abused, and I know that was a thing last couple of elections. What was it, Cambridge Analytica and things like that? But
yeah,
that's what they're doing, is they want to be able to put a bunch of tags on your account and then turn around and sell the advertisers saying, look, I have 500 people with this tag. I have 1 million people with this tag, and we can show your ads to anyone who's got that tag on them, because that the person with that tag is likely going to be interested in your market space. That's what they're doing. You know, do I think they need to be able to follow my everything I do on my phone? No. Mainly because it runs the damn battery down.
I mean, I'm not concerned about privacy. It's just the environment. Fuck off.
It's not even the environment. I just want my phone to make it through the damn day.
Upsetting Greta with all their apps.
Yeah, let's make the Bitcoin argument.
I want to commission a study into how much CO2 wasted battery life with tracking apps and do a comparison to that.
Dude, some of my early Samsung phones when I was on Android, you killed the Facebook apps off the phone back when they let you do that. And because the stock images make it really hard. You have to use a package disabler. You can't even remove them because it'll break shit. But yeah, I'm thinking specifically of a Galaxy S7, disabled Facebook and another tracking app, and I got easily another 20% battery out of it, like throughout the day. Like I was getting home from work and my battery was sitting at like 30%, after a day, and killing those tracking apps, and it was more like 50% when I got home. It was significant. Now, I don't think it's that bad anymore, but it at the time with some of the earlier Android stuff, yeah, it was bad. So, and it's also kind of obnoxious that, you know, it's like, oh, we're pulling your browser habits and your contacts and 100 other things. It's like, you don't need that. I don't even sign into Facebook often enough for you to need that. It's not even useful to me, you know? It's like if it served a purpose, it's like these Microsoft accounts that Windows is pushing on everybody, right? If the services weren't like crap and, you know, it was kind of useful, I could see, I mean, you know, more people would deal with it. I don't use a Microsoft account on my computer because there's no point. Why? Why does Microsoft need to have it tied to an email address? I mean, obviously, they want to do the advertising tracking so that, you know, they can turn their customer base into another product. But, you know, at least be like Google and give something of a product for it. Gmail is probably one of the greatest things they've ever come up with as far as giving people something for, you know, their data. Because it's at least useful. But...
I love how they made that exclusive for a while. Needed to get an invite to get a Gmail account.
Yep. Psychro says the best argument. Batteries are just bigger now.
Yeah.
All right. I'll
subscribe to that one.
Moving on. This next one's interesting. It's from Singularity Hub. So let me get this link out. There we go. The proliferation of deepfake technology is raising concerns that AI could start to warp our sense of shared reality. There's something to be said about 24-hour cable networks doing that already, but anyways, new research suggests, and in the Facebook algorithm and the Twitter algorithm for that matter, now that I think about it, new research suggests AI-synthesized faces don't simply dupe us into thinking they're real people. We actually trust them more than our fellow humans. In 2018, NVIDIA wowed the world with an AI that could churn out an ultra-realistic photos of people that don't exist. Its researchers relied on a type of algorithm known as generative adversarial network, which pits two neural networks against each other, one trying to spot fakes and the other trying to generate more convincing ones. Giving enough time, GANs can generate remarkably good counterfeits. Since then, capabilities have improved considerably, with some worrying implications, enabling scammers to trick people, making it possible to splice people into porn movies without their consent, and undermining trust in online media. While it's possible to use AI itself to spot deepfakes, tech companies' failures to effectively moderate much less complicated material suggest this won't be a silver bullet. This means that the more pertinent question is whether humans can spot the difference, and more importantly, how they relate to deepfakes. These results from a new study in PNAS are not promising. Researchers found that people's ability to detect fakes was no better than a random guess, and they actually rated the made-up faces as more trustworthy than the real ones. Yep, they're gonna.
I can understand that.
They're gonna have perfect AI actors to throw on the TV news to convince you how to vote.
Yeah, I called that years ago.
Sorry, Madman, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Started coming out.
I was just gonna say, there are facial cues you give when you're being honest, but humans don't give constant facial cues because we're not always immediately thinking of the person we're talking to. So while talking to you, I might also think, man, I would really like a sandwich. My facial expression is going to change a little bit. The robot's going to always keep the I'm a trustworthy guy facial expression. Because it doesn't have any muscle tension to get tired out or any errant thought.
Well, eventually that behavior is going to start tripping into Uncanny Valley, where it's always a perfectly pleasant, you know, interaction. But it's going to be like that episode of Rick and Morty. The only way to determine who's real is who you have bad memories of. let's see. Yeah, Cycris just says we'll flat out elect Skynet. To test reactions to fake faces, the researchers used an updated version of NVIDIA's GAN to generate 400 of them, with an equal gender split and 100 faces from each of four ethnic groups, Black, Caucasian, East Asian, and South Asian. They matched each of these with real-life faces pulled from the database that was originally used to train the GAN, which had been judged to be similar by a different neural network. They then recruited 315 participants from the Amazon Mechanical Turk crowdsourcing platform. Each person, well, now there's a question. Is that a selected audience or not? I don't know how random that would be. The Mechanical Turk thing? I know we've talked about it before, but that's basically where people can post jobs on Amazon saying, go click this thing 500 times or go research something. And, you know, they'll have a bounty posted for it, basically. So I don't know if that's kind of going to, you know, skew your results. Each person was asked to judge 128 faces from the combined data set and decide if they were fake or not. They achieved an accuracy rate of just 48%, worse than the 50% you would get from a random guess. Deepfakes often have characteristics, defects, and glitches that can help people single them out. So the researchers carried out a second experiment with another 219 participants, where they gave them some basic training on what to look out for before getting them to judge the same number of faces. Their performance improved only slightly to 59%. In the final experiment, the team decided to see if more immediate gut reactions to faces might give people better clues. They decided to see whether trustworthiness, something we typically decide in a split second based on hard-to-pin-down face features, might help people make better calls. But when they got another 223 participants to rate the trustworthiness of 128 faces, they found people actually rated the fake ones 8% more trustworthy, a small but significant difference. Given the nefarious uses deepfakes can be put to, that's a worrying finding. The researchers suggest that part of the reason why fake faces are rated more highly is because they tend to look more like average faces, which previous research has found people tend to trust more. This was borne out by looking at four most untrustworthy faces, which were all real, and the three most trustworthy, which were all fake. Is this Disney syndrome? Like, you know, the bad guy always looks twisted and evil, and the good guy always looks, you know. The researchers say their findings suggest that those developing the underlying technology behind deepfakes need to think hard about what they're doing. An important step is to ask themselves whether the benefits of the technology outweigh the risks. The industry, problem with that is somebody's going to do it. If it's not you doing it, it's going to be somebody else doing it, because if there's money in it. The industry should also consider building in safeguards, which could include things like getting deepfake generators to add watermarks to their output. Quote, because it is the democratization of access to this powerful technology that poses the most significant threat. We also encourage reconsideration of the often laissez-faire approach to the public and unrestricted releasing of code for anyone to incorporate into any application, unquote, the authors wrote. Oh, so they don't like open source. Unfortunately, though, might be too late. Publicly available models are already capable of producing highly convincing deepfakes, and it seems unlikely we'll be able to put the genie back in the bottle. So there's that. Really, I just wanted the line in there about people trusting deepfakes more than they trust the real thing.
Doesn't surprise me.
Next one. Oh, go ahead.
Unlike social media, I can't think of anything inherently evil with deepfakes. It's just what you do with them.
Pick your favorite political leader and have them saying things that, you know, you wouldn't normally have them say.
Yeah, but that's not inherent evil. That's an evil use of it. You could also use a bunch of deepfakes to make a really awesome movie at, you know, a third the cost.
Hmm. Or, you know, like they actually do in movies, just make actors look a lot younger.
Well, I'm all for replacing the actors with deepfake stuff. No more real actors. Good.
You probably have less shootings.
Less child molestation too.
Well, that's gross, and I wasn't going there. But
well,
I mean, I saw a chance to make fun of Alec Baldwin, and you went right for it. So I mean, you know,
I didn't say that Alec Baldwin was a child molester, but I'll infer it. I'm just saying, dude. Whenever I think of Hollywood, I just think pedos, dude. Really, dude. Because there's no kid that comes out of Hollywood that is ever normal.
Yeah.
So. Oh, if deepfakes get popular enough and start replacing actors, we can return them to the their proper social standing.
Yeah.
Which was below prostitutes.
Yep.
Anyone interested in history? In ancient Greece, Rome, and in China, you were more respected being a lady of negotiable affection than being an actor. You were shat on as an actor.
Yeah. Probably because you were seen as dishonest. You could pretend to be to anybody.
Yeah.
They put worth in making things, and actors made their money off of their bodies, which was the lowest social strata.
At least a whore gives pleasure.
Yeah. All right, next one up is from the South China Morning Post. Now, this is specifically focusing on China, but you're foolish if you think it's not happening elsewhere. Chinese firms caught using spyware to track employee job hunting and identify staff who might be about to resign. So, Ma, 27, recently resigned from her editor position at a private internet company in Beijing for an iron bowl job, a Chinese term used to describe a secure position at a state-owned media company. Ma's decision to resign, which surprised her direct supervisor and coworkers, was already known to her manager, who had told her he had been aware she was seeking another role since last year when she updated her resume on job search websites. How is that possible? Ma wondered. And by the way, the name is really spelled M-A. So if I'm saying that wrong, I don't have much to work with. Ma went to great lengths to prevent her employer from knowing that she was seeking another job. She updated her resume at home on her personal computer, scheduled all interviews online, never requested time off for an interview, and performed her duties as usual. Until recently, Ma thought it would remain under wraps. A recent news report revealed that another company was using software developed by Sangfor, a Shenzhen-based technology firm, to monitor its employees' job-seeking activities. Quote, either my company is using the same software, or my manager learned of my job-seeking activities through a personal network with HRs, unquote, Ma said. Well, they do talk. According to screenshots posted online, the software keeps track of resumes and a person submits... Oh, it's got an auto-playing video. Go away. Stop that. According to screenshots posted online, the software keeps track of resumes a person submits and job searches websites they visit. Based on this data... The software ran an analysis of job hunting activity and labeled the person's intention to resign as suspected in orange. Surveillance is more common in Chinese technology behemoths, according to employees, with many saying they believe they were being monitored by their employers even before the news report about the job hunting software. Generally, the computer you're using has some so-called security software installed that monitors all of your actions, unquote, said a programmer who recently left ByteDance, the company that owns TikTok. Quote, the company can completely record any data about you as long as you're connected to the internet, unquote. However, because the final interpretation of the rules rests with the company, employees have no choice but to be cautious. According to another ByteDance employee, he rarely posts on social media platforms such as WeChat, Weibo, and even MyMy, which allows employees of tech giants to communicate anonymously. Even though it's claimed to be anonymous, there's still a chance you'll be discovered, he said. Aside from the technology used, the intertwined networks of tech executives are another weapon in the hands of companies. Last year, a programmer at Pinduoduo, China's largest agriculture-focused technology platform, was fired after anonymously posting a picture of an ambulance waiting outside the company's building on MyMy with the caption, "Another fierce man has fallen." He was fired for that? Damn. It's like, what? Just acknowledging that somebody was hurt, I guess. But being spied on has become so prevalent in the tech sector that many people have accepted as part of normal working conditions. Quote, it appears that once you join the company, you have to accept such as fact. Another tech company employee explained, it has gradually become self-monitoring and reflected in my subconscious reaction to every action. For example, I may spend 0.1 second to think about where some information should be sent and where not. Personal information protection is a relatively new concept in China. According to the Personal Information Protection Law, which was implemented in mainland China in November of 2021, companies should inform their employees about the monitoring and obtain their consent first, and failing to do so will constitute illegal handling of personal information. According to Shi Yuhang, a lawyer from a Shanghai-based Haiyu law firm. However, its application boundaries, according to Shi, are not yet clear. I quote, I believe that as the number of cases increases, we'll see more clearly where the boundaries are and assist workers in protecting their privacy, she said. So, it's pretty invasive, and it sounds like they're actually putting spyware on their home machines, which, if they're using their home machines to connect to work networks, they probably are. But don't think that's only happening in China.
I was just thinking it wouldn't be hard for a company to keep track of this. They just need to look, and what in the U.S. look at LinkedIn and
the various resume upload sites like, you know, like Dice and things like that. Sure. And I know for a fact that there are companies who provide the service of just give us a list of your employees and we'll monitor the internet for them. So, you know, they may not need to get anything on your home machine. They just monitor all the networks for where you're posting job applications and things like that. And yeah, I mean, they've basically just automated the hell out of searching and databasing. But yeah, it's I know for a fact that those companies exist, might have contracts with some of them that, you know, now I what our company's doing with one of them is they're checking out a couple of common social media platforms, and they're going to be messaging employees saying, hey, we looked at your Facebook and saw some things publicly. You might want to review what you're posting. They're doing it more for a DLP kind of thing. But you imagine being in the first batch of employees to get an email saying, hey, we noticed your Facebook profile was public and you were posting things about the bank. You know, I mean, you want to fuck with somebody?
Oh, yeah.
That's going to mess with them. You know that's going to cause problems. But that's the thing, is you think they don't already do it? I've seen people called into HR because they updated their LinkedIn profiles.
Yeah.
So it's not just happening in China. Now, China might be a lot more aggressive about it, especially because their culture is a little bit more submissive to authority. It might be a way to put that. I'm not trying to be insulting. It just generally is different, you know?
Oh, definitely.
So I'm just thinking that, you know, they might be a lot more aggressive about the monitoring they do in China than they would do over here, but I know they're doing it here too. So might be involved in it. Well, not directly.
And it doesn't take spyware to do it. It's just, I think you can do it at least in America effectively just by looking at publicly available databases.
That's what most of them are doing, man. So, yeah, it might not be spyware, but the article certainly defined it as such. So, now, I bet on their work machines it is, because I know the kind of software we deploy on work machines. So, again, depending on how you put your rule sets together, it's totally possible. But
and they shouldn't be updating their resume on a work machine.
No, that's when you want to exercise some operational security and use a separate thing. But, you know, you notice they were surprised. It's like, well, I always did it from a home machine and, you know, made sure it never interfered with work. Well, but you're still posting online, right? Because that's the fun part about the internet. Once it leaves your computer, your control over it is basically nil. You're just trusting companies and services to not do something bad.
And if this is automated, they're looking for changes in behavior. A way to defeat it would be to just constantly keep an updated resume.
Well, they also might have agreements with job hosting sites on the back end. You know, you think about it. If you're running one of these database sites and you go to a job hosting site and say, well, subscribe to your feed for, you know, $2,000 a month, you think they're not going to take it? They might ask for more money. But, I mean, you know, I'm sure a lot of these job hosting sites turn around and sell that information on the back end.
Oh, yeah. I'd see them definitely selling it to headhunters.
Oh, yeah. So,
like, you know, we'll give you a couple of days advance notice on people with these skill sets that you may be looking for.
Anyways, let's get into the stupid stories. Got a couple of those. Where are we at? 45 minutes? Okay, we're not doing too bad. Are you? Do you have anything on that?
No, I'm good.
All right. Into the stupid stories. This is from BBC. Metaverse app allows kids into virtual strip clubs. You think they're just taking old stories from the 90s about the start of the internet and rehashing them?
Yes, they are.
Your kids should not be on social media.
Some apps in the virtual reality metaverse are dangerous by design, the NSPCC has warned in a response to a BBC News investigation. A researcher posing as a... Hang on, let me get the shocking sound ready to go. We're going to want that. There we go. A researcher posing as a 13-year-old girl witnessed grooming, sexual material, and racist insults and a rape threat in the virtual reality world. Would they play Halo?
Please tell me this was an overweight 50-year-old guy.
Got a picture of the researcher. She doesn't look like an overweight man. the children's charity said it was shocked and angry at the findings. Head of online child safety policy, Andrew Burrows, added in the investigation that he found a toxic combination of risks. The BBC News researcher, using an app with a minimum age rating of 13, visited virtual reality rooms where avatars were simulating sex. He also was shown sex toys and condoms and approached by numerous adult men. So you were in VR chat then. Or Second Life, for that matter. the metaverse is the name given to games and experiences accessed by people wearing virtual reality headsets.
No.
No.
No, it's not.
That's just virtual reality. The metaverse is a concept from Neal Stephenson that where you get into a virtual internet. But, okay. The technology previously confined to gaming could be adapted for use in many other areas, from work to play, concerts to cinema trips. Mark Zuckerberg thinks it could be the future of the internet, so much so he recently rebranded Facebook as Meta, with the company investing billions in developing its Oculus Quest headset. I thought Oculus developed the Quest before Facebook bought them. I thought they just rebranded it as it was coming out. The headset, now rebranded as the MetaQuest, is thought to have as much as 75% of the market share. It was one of these headsets which the BBC News researchers used to explore an app in a part of the metaverse. The app, called VR Chat, is an online virtual platform which users can explore with 3D avatars. Okay. VR chat is a 3D world. It's a virtual chat room that's built in not Unreal. What's the other engine? Damn it. The common game engine you always see those cheap indie games made in.
Steam Engine?
No. Unity. It's made in Unity. And I'm not knocking the Unity engine. I just always see a lot of weird games show up from that. That, you know, it's like they just bought a bunch of stuff from the asset store and threw a game together. But the actual game engine itself is fine. There's nothing wrong with Unity. It's just a lot of people use it as junior developers, put out a lot of crap with it. But yeah, GVR chat uses Unity. So the users can make whatever they want, including rooms that look however they want, objects and avatars however they want. And it has warnings all over it that if you take explicit stuff out into the public rooms, you'll get banned. So, but if you go into people's private rooms, I mean, you know, all bets are off. It's like going to somebody's private web server. You have no clue what they've posted there. It could be anything, you know. Congratulations, you found the weird part of the internet. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, we were joking last time about the number of... Psychros put it in the chat. Unity. Yes, thank you. Yeah, we were joking about the number of large titted anime girls running around in VR chat with very masculine voices for some reason. while it's not made by Facebook, it can be downloaded from an app store on Facebook's Meta Quest headset with no age verification checks, the only requirement being a Facebook account. The BBC News researcher created a fake profile to set up her account, and her real identity was not checked. Inside VR chat, there are rooms where users can meet. Some are innocent and everyday, such as a McDonald's restaurant, for example. But there are also pole dancing and strip clubs. That sounds like an awesome McDonald's restaurant. I need to get my headset out and find that one. I mean, a McDonald's restaurant with pole dancing and strip clubs? I mean, shit.
Hey, if they did that in the States, they might up their business.
Also, this author might want to learn the use of a semicolon. Anyways, children mixed freely with adults. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of times when I've been in VR chat and there are kids running around, I usually leave because it's like, we're not playing. We're not. No. VR chat's one of those things that you do after you've had a few drinks and you just want to see how weird the internet gets.
That's not a child. That's a 4,000-year-old vampire being LARPed by a 42-year-old man.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Moving on.
That's gonna be the a sound generation of me not that... touching that with an 80-foot pole.
That'd be a generation of people that don't know that sound.
One man told our researcher that avatars can, quote, get naked and do unspeakable things. Just because you're uncomfortable talking about it, I'm sure we can find a whole group of volunteers on 4chan who are willing to talk about it.
I saw this avatar turn itself into sausage. Weird shit.
Others talked about, quote, erotic role play. Do most browsers do age check for a download? No, I don't think they do. Yeah, because it's the same. You're right. You're exactly right. Yeah, Psychros asked if the browsers do an age check, and I don't remember seeing that. But although that said, where I remember seeing age ratings in the store, nothing's ever asked to verify it. But at the same time, I think when I set up my profile, I gave it my birthday. So I've not tried it using an account that's flagged as a minor, right? So I don't know. And of course, I don't really want to mess with it. But yeah. Following the BBC News investigation, the NSPCC, the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty for Children, said improvements in online safety are a matter of urgency. Mr. Burrows from the NSPCC told us that what he had found was extraordinary. Quote, it's children being exposed to entirely inappropriate, really incredibly harmful experiences, he said. He believes technology companies have learned little from the mistakes made with the first generation of social media. Quote, this is a product that's dangerous by design because of oversight and neglect. We are seeing products rolled out without any suggestion that safety has been considered. Unquote. He said, it's a headset, dude. Meta says that it does have tools to allow players to block other users and is looking to make safety improvements, quote, as it learns how people interact in these spaces. Unquote. But Facebook doesn't run VR chat. VR chat's its own independent thing. BBC News also spoke to a safety campaigner who spent months investigating VR chat, who now posts his videos on YouTube. Is he the guy who, like, does flips and shit? Because that guy's hilarious. Like, he did all the full body tracking in VR chat and then, like, throws himself against the wall and shit like that. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
He usually uses a Kermit avatar, I think, just because his voice sounds like that. He has spoken to children who say they were groomed on the platform and forced to take part in virtual sex. Okay, you can't force anybody in VR to do anything because they can just take the headset off. He chose to remain anonymous because he's concerned for the safety of his family. The safety campaigner explained, because VR is so immersive, children actually have to act out sexual moments. No, they don't. You just take it off. That said, maybe don't let your young kids use a VR headset unsupervised. In fact, there's a lot of warnings on the thing about letting kids use it in the first place, because apparently if your eyes aren't to a certain level of development, it can screw with them. So really, you probably just shouldn't be letting your kids use the VR headset in the first place. Maybe keep an eye on what they do. It's not that hard to set up the VR headset to blast everything it's doing out to a TV. That's what we do with the thing at a, you know, when I've taken it somewhere and we've got a group of people using it. Because one of the best things about having a VR headset is laughing at other people using it. Because everyone looks stupid wearing one jumping around the living room. So, you guys have anything on that?
No, I'm good.
All right.
I think a solution to this would be just don't let your children onto social networks.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, understand what the kids are doing with the computer, right? Or the headset, or the phone. You know, be a parent. Don't just hand them the iPad and expect it to be a perfect babysitter. And strap your kid into a VR headset to keep them occupied for the day. I mean, that's probably not a great idea.
This could be a remake we should do. Remake of the Jim Carrey movie where he refers to Cable as the babysitter, except we're going to use the Oculus.
Last article I have is from today.com. White Castle to hire 100 robots to flip burgers. I think you meant purchase. I think the headline should be purchase 100 robots to flip burgers. Midwestern.
We're not going to enslave our robotic overlords. I would like to stand back and say you are people. Whenever you start lobotomizing humans, please make me one of the last so I can laugh at everyone else.
Midwestern food chain White Castle is outsourcing some of its jobs to robots. The hamburger chain announced its plan this week to install Miso Robotics Flippy 2 in 100 locations.
I'd like to point out it's not outsourcing. If you do it to a robot, it's called automating.
Thank you. The Ohio-based chain has been experimenting with the robotic fry cook since September of 2020, when the original Flippy was installed at a Chicago area restaurant. After upgrading to Flippy 2 at the original test location in November of 2021, White Castle decided to roll out a larger version of the program. Quote, by taking over the work of an entire fry station, Flippy 2 alleviates the pain points that come with the back-of-house roles at a quick-service restaurant to create a working environment for its human co-workers that maximizes efficiency of the kitchen. Miso Robotics said in a statement, quote, the improved workflow allows for the redeployment of team members to focus on creating memorable moments for customers. That's a weird way to phrase that. What, do you expect them to do the Mac and Me dance that the McDonald's employees did in that movie? So that they have a memorable moment rather than, you know, giving them their fucking food. Anyways.
Oh, no, I want to have a discussion of all the things you can make from White Castles with one of their employees. Like, how did you get anyone to make stuffing out of White Castle sliders? Did you provide the weed that inspired this? Or did you just be like, stoners, come to our website and make people vomit?
Are you, when you were over here, you probably didn't get to do a White Castle, and I doubt they have them in Australia.
No, I wouldn't do it even if I was offered.
Oh, we got to get them out here once next time you're out here.
No, most burgers aren't my thing.
That's being very generous. Description of the White Castle. They thank you.
I've never eaten McDonald's. I've never eaten Burger King.
It's more of a it's more of a biscuit with a piece of meat inside than a burger, and a lot of
onion flavored grease on a bun.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's not something I'm gonna eat, man. Like, if we were to go, I'd go sit there. I'd probably have some fries. I do the polite thing.
Actually,
the
fries are usually pretty
burger.
Good. The fries are usually pretty good.
It's like we went to, what was it, a Five Guys or whatever?
Yeah.
I didn't get a burger. I just got some chips, some fries.
Yeah. They give you three meals worth in a bag. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I like the way of doing fries. They just slice the potato there and fucking drop it in the grease. Great way.
Miso Robotics said the rollout of the machines is being phased by region and still in the planning stages. The robotics program will take place in nearly one-third of the company's locations, as there are about 350 brick-and-mortar White Castle restaurants across the Midwest, Southwest, and the New York area. White Castle is hardly the first fast food chain to look at artificial intelligence as a way of increasing efficiency and lowering labor costs. Other chains like Sonic, McDonald's, and Checkers are working with AI companies to streamline taking orders in the drive-thru. So, at the 2020 Beijing Winter Olympics, robots are preparing and serving meals to reporters, but not the athletes. One restaurant in Texas hired three robots in 2021 to help serve hungry customers as waiters, food runners in one Boston restaurant. Robots prep and cook rice bowls at a low price. Even grocery chain Kroger is working with their high-tech fulfillment centers across the country to streamline grocery delivery. So, yeah, it's a bit of a fluff piece, but actually, the picture of the robots, if you can find the video of it, is kind of interesting because it's one of those, it looks like a car assembly arm, but it's on a track kind of suspended from the ceiling working either the fry station or the grill. So it's interesting. And I think you're going to see more of this, especially as people argue for minimum wage to go up. If steel is not cheaper than flesh, well, what do you think they're going to do? All right, nothing more on that. Let's do this. All right, what I have for you tonight in Digital Dojo is a pretty interesting little find. This is an emulator of the controller of a Dell laptop charger using an ATtiny 85, which is a very cheap microcontroller, of course, chip shortage if you can find them. Power adapters for Dell laptops contain an IC to determine adapter capabilities, such as watts, voltage, and current. If you connect an unoriginal adapter, the laptop may refuse to charge the battery. This project allows you to use the cheap and small microcontroller ATtiny 85 for emulating the answers of most of the original adapters with requests of the laptop. You can configure the adapter settings in the file eprom-data.hex. File contains EEPROM data in Intel hex format. Format of the Dell charger identifications are below, so you can set the value, and then he's got a little wiring diagram of how to hook the thing up and read and write the EEPROM. But basically, this lets you fake the smart batteries that Dell uses, you know, because if anybody who's messed with Dell laptops knows, if you try to plug in a universal charger, it'll usually balk at it. Hell, if you plug in the wrong Dell charger, it'll say, you can't charge the battery off this, the wattage is too low. So this is a way to use a microcontroller to cheat, give it the answers it wants, and charge off the battery anyways. Because it is pretty annoying if you have a charger that you know is capable of the wattage it needs, and Dell just won't use it because it's not a Dell charger. So I think this is cool. I like having it out there. I want to see more shit like this of getting around these kind of controls. Now, it does mean, however, if you're faking the responses to the safety chip, you better know what you're doing with that charger, because otherwise you're going to get the lithium battery to explode. So if you don't know what you're doing feeding power into the thing, maybe don't fake the responses from the charger. But that's, of course, all I have for tonight. Listen to the show. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 site and subreddit. In the IRC tonight, myself, Cyberlard, Alhazard, Cykros, Madman. There's still no coffee maker. Did I lose TeamSpeak?
Nope, you're still on.
No. Okay, I just hadn't heard anything from you guys for a minute, so I'm like, did it break?
Nope.
Nope, okay. Madman, closing thoughts.
Nothing really.
All right. Are you closing thoughts?
It is Empire of Dust, and here is a link to watch it. It's on YouTube, so it's technically not piracy.
Okay, I will copy that link. Throw that in the IRC there for anybody who wants that. It's loading the player in the IRC because I forgot it does that. Copy it in the show notes as well so I can throw it in closing thoughts so that anybody getting the show notes after the fact can go watch it. And it's going to hit the sound effects and close us out. We're only 5 minutes over, so we're doing good.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Attention, attention. There is no cause for alarm. Grasp the nearest oxygen mask and put it over your nose and mouth immediately. There is no cause for alarm. Breathe normally. Use the strap on your mask to keep it in place. There is no cause for alarm.
Down to your nose down and call the night.
Go on, pass it out.